Do you want to uplift your career? Do you want to land an internship or job? Or are you trying to find your direction in life? If any of those three apply, this is the episode for you. One of the steps to getting there is...
If you want to choose a career path or create your own career path, people need to before they can help you.
Another one is personal branding. It's not just for athletes or celebrities. No, it's for you to level up your career. And it's crucial even in STEM careers since...
Hiring process, a bunch of resumes, it's also only going to be looked at a couple seconds. So you need to make a first impression already at the very beginning.
We're joined by Wayne. She has a background in civil and motor engineering and management. She did internships at Toyota and Deltares. She founded two companies and she's a curator for Dutch Design Week. Wayne's advice will help you elevate your game and career. So let's get right to it. This is the Gen Z in STEM podcast. I'm your host, Madrin, and I hope you're as excited as I am. Let's get to it.
Well, hi, welcome. So today I'm joined with Wayne. And so first off, well, you did your bachelor's and master's at UT. And today we have UT students and some people from the audience who have asked some questions as well as my questions. So
that's nice.
Yeah, so let's get right into it. So you did your bachelor's in civil engineering and management, same as me, and your master's in water engineering and management. Mm-hmm. So first of all, while you were doing all of this, you did like lots of associations and activities. So the first question is, what skills did you learn during your time in university and like that you found relevant, like the most relevant, I guess?
I think for my studies itself, I think it's a certain way of thinking, especially as an engineer in solution-based thinking, looking at things clearly, looking at from a higher perspective, but also look at the details, all that. Yeah, I think it's very, very common in the engineering field. From the things that I've done around it, like the committees and associations and all that, I think it's teamwork is a big thing. I think you work with different personalities, which you probably will do through the rest of your life. So it's very good to understand where people are coming from, to listen to them, see how you can work together, even if maybe sometimes your opinions differentiate. I think organizational skills is a very big thing. Usually I work towards events or projects or an end date or a deadline. And I think it's good to understand then, okay, what is the timeline, time management in that sense, but also what needs to be delivered. Have you been taking care of everything? And I think at last also, just in general, I think being a student, and I lived in Enschede by myself, or at least, you know, in a student house. So how to take care of yourself, I think that is a very important aspect. Just basic skills, cooking, cleaning, and all that. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, how do you deal with things when your parents are not there? Just when you make a mistake, what do you do when something doesn't go your way? Who do you call and how do you solve things? I think that is a very important skill to have too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thanks so much. And yeah. Was there an association that was kind of like, well, not your favorite, but that, you know, you really enjoyed or, yeah.
It's a good association or a committee, you mean?
Yeah. Or committee.
I really enjoy it. Yeah, I did so many things for so many different reasons, but I think, wow, you caught me on a favorite. I think for me, the first time speaking in public was a big thing. And I spoke for, I think, 250 people. And it was not just students. It was also people from companies that actually paid to be at the symposium that were organized. So they came for us and also to help us to give workshops and all these things. I think that was, yeah, especially I was just, I think, maybe 20. Of course, I was very new in the field, new student in general. So yeah, that was quite a exciting thing. And I was very happy that everything ran very smoothly that day. Even though I remember that I slept through my alarm in the morning. So that was a good one.
That's incredible, because I feel like also public speaking is a big thing. Like when we're coming into university, like myself too, we don't necessarily have those skills. So that's really something we need to develop. And so it's great you got that in the like a committee, yeah. Symposium committee.
I think, yeah, I push myself very often to do those things and to I think I also looked at certain committees to see, okay, what do I enjoy about it, but what would I learn? I think from that symposium committee, I really wanted to be the chair of the committee, just to understand what that means, also to lead a team, to to see what you can learn from those skills.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. And so then after, so your first 2 years of civil engineering, I'm going back a little, you did your bachelor thesis in Toyota in Japan. And so then how did you decide to like go to Japan? And did you already have like a predestined idea of what you wanted to do for your career?
No. So I started civil engineering thinking about I want to do construction, build big bridges. Then I realized that's not what I'm going to learn in my studies. So then the bigger projects, you know, project management in construction, I think, big things, high profile and all that. And then throughout, I don't know, my third year, I think I got more interested in technology and human behavior. And I think what aligns closest to is automotive then. There was a professor in automotive or intelligent transport systems, it's called then. And that was looking at systems in the car and how it influences people's behavior and how you can learn from these things. And then from the symposium I organized, the professor was the chair of the symposium. I went to him and I said, well, soon I'm going to do a bachelor thesis. I don't know where, but I do want to do it at a company and I do want to do it abroad. So he gave me some options from his contacts and it landed in Japan and I was very happy to go to Japan. So that was a good opportunity for me, but before and after, I didn't know if I want to stay in automotive. So never had that idea or a very clear idea. I just went with the flow, what I liked.
So, next thing is like, so what was the most interesting part of your internship at Toyota and Deltares?
The most interesting part, I think, Toyota was, then I was 21, so it was my first time going abroad, living abroad, and have that international experience. It was very, very interesting, especially as a culture, even though my heritage is Asian, so I've been quite often to family in Hong Kong, where my family is from, but Japan is a totally different culture that I couldn't imagine, so it was just a very crazy, interesting, intricate culture to be in. Also, a Japanese working culture was definitely very I learned a lot from that. And I think what I thought for my thesis itself, I thought the most interesting part was that it related to something that everybody could relate to. Often in civil engineering, it's not, you do things that might not have that big of a societal impact, or at least is coming from a distance, but driving, any person that has a car is driving and it can be influenced by the systems in a car. So that was very cool to be part of that. And of course it was to motivate people to be more sustainable in the car. So for me, it felt like that I was contributing actually to something that was a bigger picture in sustainability.
And then through your experiences, like, how did your vision of what you wanted to do, like for a career, like later on, shift over time based on like what you saw and experienced?
So I started with construction of what I wanted to do. Then I went into automotive, and then I talking to some people in the automotive industry, which is an insane big industry, of course. It's massive, lots of cars. I also know a lot of money. I know it goes into it. But I don't know, something stuck on me. I'm not sure if that's the right thing to have been stuck on me, but I thought like at least water engineering, the third pillar in at least from my studies, I thought like I'm doing something even better for the planet. That's what I thought, and for the humans and all that. So I wanted to be involved in the water engineering part to really look at the sustainability part and how you can strategically help people in flood management, in coastal protection and all these things. So that's how it changed for me, at least during the studies, and why I did that. I do have to admit, I did my thesis at Deltares. I did the most technical thesis, or the most technical, let's say, path of the masters that was there, just also because I had some confidence issues in whether I was a real engineer and if I could do a technical modeling and all that. So I wanted to learn that, and I wanted to prove to myself that I can. But after that, I thought like I didn't want to continue doing that.
Yeah, fair. I mean, I would agree though. Like, out of the three pillars, I don't know. Like, I would say at least benevolence is quite essential. Like, everything revolves around water and water management in some aspect. But yeah,
yeah.
Interesting how it diverged. And now I want to move on to actually like something that you pointed out when we first like talked. So the value of personal branding, something that I had never really considered before you like mentioned it. But usually, so we would think that, I don't know, personal branding is something that an athlete would have to do, or like, a celebrity kind of figure. But it's actually relevant in engineering and the corporate world too. So what is the value of personal branding, and why do you think it's like so many people struggle with it?
I think personal branding has become more important in the world because, well, first of all, if you look at people's lives, the thing that people want the most is time. They don't have time. There's always a lack of time. So that also means their attention is always focused on themselves often and, the things that they have to do. So if you look in even like in the hiring process, a bunch of resumes, it's also only going to be looked at a couple seconds. So you need to make a first impression already in the very beginning, in a very one-site manner. LinkedIn, the same. We judge people on the first impressions when we walk on the street. Sometimes we just don't want to or don't have the time to look further to someone's personality. And if there's a first impression, I think even if you look at the dating world, you see it, first date is not going right. Well, maybe I don't want to invest in a second one. I'll just go to the next one because it probably will be better. And I think it's unfortunate. I do think people have a bit more depth than only what shows them, and someone can have a bad day and all these things. But yeah, that's unfortunate that we live in that world. If you look at jobs, then you look at that you're probably competing with more people in the world than before. Before, you probably live in a community or a city and you only compete with the people that are close range. Now your resume can go all over the world. So also your competition is all over the world. So you better just also make a really good impression. And you're competing with so many people. I don't say that I think it's a good approach to do things, but I understand for a company you just want to choose the best one, and if they can get it from somewhere else, that's fine, so I think personal branding, you see now you can do your job really well, but if people don't have time, it often goes unnoticed until it goes bad, because good things are a bit more are basically take for granted. It's just like the health, when you're healthy, nothing's wrong. But when you're sick, then you really struggle, and then you really see, okay, something is really bothering me. So I think when things are going well, people say like, oh, that's just how it should be. So good accomplishments might not always get noticed. And therefore, you need to stand out in a different way to at least let people know what you are doing. And that means you need to step outside maybe your comfort zone to tell people, hey, this is what I'm working on, and this is what I would like to do. And especially if you want to choose a career path or create your own career path, people need to know what you want before they can help you. Once they know what you want, then they can help you. And then they think, oh, yeah, you can maybe talk to this person, or you can maybe apply to this job. But if they don't know, they're not going to ask and they're not going to guess it. So you have to be a bit more extrovert in that sense. And I think especially in an engineering environment and STEM environment, I think it's the personalities are not always very extrovert. I'm also not in that sense. Mm-hmm. But I would say I think I found a way where at least I feel more comfortable to do it. And I think what helps me is to always come from perspective of motivation and drive. So if you talk about something that you're very enthusiastic about and that you really like, it automatically you show that you're driven to do something, you're willing to learn from it, you're willing to go the extra mile for it, you're passionate about it. And I think that is a big key in maybe sharing what your ideas are, what would you like to do, instead of, look at me, I'm great at this and this and this and this. More like, hey, I'd like to achieve this in my life because I'm really passionate about this topic and I want to learn more about it. It's a different way of approaching to showcase what you want.
So if I understand well, also it's maybe a way of like documenting your life and getting help from like, you know, like networks and other people, kind of reaching out to like, you know, understand more about what you are passionate about.
Think so. So personal branding, I would say you create, yeah, you create your own brand and you need to stand out to be different and all that stuff. And I think everybody is unique in that sense. We all have different interests, we all have different personalities, and we all have different experiences. I think personal branding is a bit more an outward thing, just to show people who you are and what you like to do. And yeah, that can benefit you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be you. You have to take very beautiful pictures of yourself and be outward all the time. Mm-hmm. It's more like, let's say you're in a work environment, or even when you're a student, I did that. When you go to maybe some of these events where there maybe are professionals, companies that you like to work with, maybe, or learn more about it, they often also ask, so who are you? Because then they understand if they. If they understand who you are, then they can also see, hey, do you fit in this company? Do you have the skills? But also maybe, do you fit in a team? You know, it's also about having a match on your personality, on your interests, the vibe that you have. How well are you working with people? It's all these things matter.
Yeah. And okay, I want to go back. So to your analogy, that was a bit like, when you're sick, you think about like when you're healthy, but when you're healthy, you don't acknowledge that you can be sick, I guess. Well, not amazing connection, but the point is, I wanted to talk a bit about how, like, so after you actually, like, graduated, you finish your bachelor and master's, you go to IBM, so this corporation, you work in it, you quickly, like, climb the corporate ladder, you're sitting in these boardrooms, but then you realize that things are not going well, like, it's not lying with you and it's not working out. So you do experience burnout, but then I want to ask, how did you realize you were experiencing burnout, and how did you manage to then recover from it?
I never managed to diagnose myself with burnout, mm-hmm. more that I did find signs, and then someone told me maybe you should go see someone. And I didn't understand it, but I went to the company doctor, and then they actually told me, hey, I think you maybe are in a burnout, or at least over fatigued, or in some way. And then I could only recall in hindsight the signs that might have warned me of getting there. And I would say the signs that I faced were like, I always had back pain. I think that was just, I thought really was a normal thing. I went to physiotherapists and all types of therapists, and they say nothing's wrong with your back, so probably should be fine. So I thought like, this is something I had to live with. Some point I was, I was getting nightmares. I was like, you know, because of work, you know, I thought like, oh, maybe I'm stressed, you know, yeah, there's a lot of stress coming out at night, but yeah, next day we'll be fine. I at some point started crying at work. I was like, what is happening? I don't know. Maybe I should take some rest. But you know, you take a day of rest, then it's fine again. I had hair loss. I also thought maybe I'm not eating healthy, but maybe that's part of life in general. So there was a lot of things I thought like, okay, that is just, everybody's tired. I'm tired. We're all busy. So there's no difference. And I felt, and I have to admit, yeah, I have a lot of energy, but so also people didn't really see it at the first instance that it might change. I did feel at some point a bit changing when people asked me, hey, how are you? Then it was never good, but it was okay. You know, I wasn't really bad. I wasn't really great, but it was okay. And then I realized at some point, hey, this is not an answer I usually give, which is kind of weird, but maybe it's a phase in my life. And I think what was difficult was that I felt like burnout, of course, is in many minds, oh, that means you're weak. And I didn't want to give up. I thought like, if you stop, you give up and you give in. And that's what I really struggled with, that I thought like, oh, okay, well, tomorrow's going to be a better day. You know, things might be going better. So I'll just keep on continuing until I realized that, I just pictured myself if I didn't have to do it. And then I realized how much I hated it. And then I had to learn, which it didn't come naturally, to learn I'm not a student. I'm not at school. I don't have to... I'm not obliged to do this job per se. Nobody's telling me this is obligatory, this is the thing you have to do for the rest of your life. And then I realized, oh, I do have a choice not to do it. And I think, you know, when we look for careers and jobs, we think we always want the ideal job, you know, where everything is right. That, I can tell you, is very hard to find. That is always going to be very difficult. There's always things you don't like, even if you just look at administration. It's something you don't like, maybe. So there's always aspects of a job and even in life that are not nice. The only thing is you shouldn't hate it, but you should be able to tolerate it. It doesn't have to be the most fun thing, but it needs to be tolerable. And apparently what I was doing wasn't tolerable anymore.
Yeah. So then you shifted from the corporate world and then you kind of went into, I guess, this entrepreneurial route where you kind of founded your own company. So can you maybe give an overview of what WingM and 3310 School for Millennials are/do?
So WingM, actually not doing anywhere, but it was my first company I started. And basically I thought, okay, I wanted to figure out what am I good at. Okay, I did an engineering studies. I was a consultant and all that stuff. But what are the skills that actually people want to pay for? I really thought about that. So I think it was a good way to understand what am I good at, but also what do I really enjoy doing it. I think if you become an entrepreneur, you need to have the energy and the endurance to go for a long time. So you have to really like it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it. So I realized that a lot of people struggle with the personal branding part. But for me, the personal branding part was also intertwined with to understand who you are, actually. Like what is your personality? What are you passionate about? And how does it fit in your life and in your work? So it was more of a personal coaching company. And then I realized that so many people were struggling with certain issues that were the same. And I think it was a generational thing that I started 3310 School for Millennials to create workshops where we learn skills, for burnout prevention, but mostly life skills that we are not taught at school. So it could be skills about how to put less pressure on yourself, or how to make better choices in life, or to understand, what is your ideal job, or what is your ideal life? All these things, I think, we're not really reflected on in our studies. It's mostly just, you know, you learn the professional skills and the technical skills, the content skills, but not like how do you basically live. With that 3310, I tried to do workshops, and also it got out of hand with very creative things like shows and escape rooms and games and all sorts.
Okay, and then I'll move on. I love how you like took something and then you sort of like guiding and helping others, I guess. But what I want to ask is, so then what's the most enjoyable part, or was the most enjoyable part of being an entrepreneur?
The most enjoyable part, of course, you really do what you love at some point. I'm not saying that everything of entrepreneur life is fun, but at least the core of it is, of course, something you really enjoy. And I have to admit, that was also a big journey to find that, because I think we all have certain ideas in how we think things are enjoyable, or how we maybe have a certain a dream about it. But is it really that enjoyable as we think? It might be romanticize a lot, maybe in our minds, like, oh, this job must be great, but then when you actually do it, it might not be. So there was a lot of things to barriers to go through, but what I really enjoyed a lot was I could choose the people I wanted to work with. That was one. So that was very nice. And I also met a lot of interesting people. So from civil engineering, okay, I went into corporate, but then I ended up in different sectors. Like I was aligned with the cultural sector, so theaters and festivals. But also because of the workshops, I went into financial companies, to municipalities, to universities. It's all sorts of people that I met. And I think that was very, very eye-opening to also see how different, how people work differently, or how they are trained differently. Like, even, of course, burnout prevention is more in the mental health, and then you come to psychology and therapy and health sector in general. And they're not trained like engineers, so that's a totally different way of working. And also to understand how they see things and how you can use some value of their skills in your own. So
Okay, then on the flip side, what was the hardest part of like founding your own company?
Yeah, making yourself viable, financially viable. That's the most, that you need to eat. So that's a thing. So yeah, what, how do you eat? I think what really has driven me to start my own company was I thought like I could always go fall back to where I started with. So let's say if I start my company, one, I could always work in a Starbucks or something, that's fine. I do think I have the skills or the diploma to go to work in a Starbucks or in a cafe and all that stuff. So I can do some job. It might not be something that I pictured myself, but I thought like for my passion, I was willing to give that up. Also in a career wise, I thought if I don't make it in a company, I back then I think it was just let's say 28, 29, I thought like, okay, I don't have kids, I don't have any much obligations to worry about. So, if I fail, I just go back to the secure job, go back in the career path. And maybe I have to start again, but that's fine. At least I tried. So I really wanted to live with the feeling that I would at least not regret things in my life. That's why I went for it. But yeah, it is tough to make it every month. Like, and sometimes, of course, you have a good month, but then you don't know if it's gonna be good the next month or the next months. That could even be it. So that's quite risky, and you need to be able to be flexible in that sense. Or you could also find a part-time job on the side, of course. But yeah, it is security, I would say, is something like that. And especially if you, well, as an entrepreneur, if you get sick, you just don't get anything because you don't you're you don't yeah, no money. No money's coming in, especially if you're longer sick. Let's say if you're burned out, then it's quite challenging because yeah, then really you don't have any support, maybe some subsidies, but that's about it. So also no retirement. You don't have to, yeah, you think you don't have to think about it, but actually we already have to start thinking about it very young. All these things, all the security that a job offers, that, and I would say I didn't, unfortunately, or fortunately, I did not encounter that. But let's say if you work in a job, you have a growth learning curve. And if you make a mistake, you still have a security of an okay, I took a risk and make a mistake, but it's a safe environment to make a mistake. It's not you, yeah, you often don't get fired straight away. But let's say if you mess it up with a client, yeah, then that means, yeah, it's bye bye, that someone else is going to replace you. So, yeah, it's a bit more harsh in that sense.
But you did take the risk, and
I did
so
take
far,
the risk, yeah.
so
Yeah.
Okay. But also, I want to talk about failure because it's like very present in like everyday life. But I guess, what is your perspective on failure in general, and how do you overcome this like fear associated with failing?
I think failing, yeah, it just sounds very cliche, but failing is learning. I'd say, yeah, I cannot say it any differently. But I would say if your life goes all perfect, one, it's probably quite boring and it's quite predictable. I don't think, yeah, if you really want that, that's fine. But I think that is, yeah, it's maybe not the most exciting life you're gonna have. And on the other hand, also, I think, by let's say we call it failing or learning, you can learn a lot from your failures, and every time you encountered it, it goes better and better. Think about even like let's say relationships. First relationship fails, maybe your heart get broken or the other way, but the next time you learn, okay, this is what I do like and this is what I didn't like, and how do I deal with this better. And I think it makes you in that sense a better person, but also more resilient for future obstacles that you're going to face. So then it will actually, let's say the failing wouldn't feel as failure anymore. You're just saying like, okay, well, that was interesting, I've learned from that, I can move on and we can go to the next. And I think it's inevitable that we're going to face obstacles or difficulties in our lives, and I think we better just prepare by it and to learn fast. I think that would definitely recommend, especially as a student, you have even a more safer environment to making mistakes. You're still young, you're in a safe environment, you're just learning, everybody accepts that you're learning. So you can just do whatever and try things, and once you've tried, you understand, okay, this hasn't worked out, or this has worked out. How can I use this in my next steps in my life?
Yeah, no, I love this, like seeing it from a different perspective, seeing maybe failure as growth, and then maybe that will switch things up, make you less scared in general of failure.
I would say so. And I think, yeah, just try. I think even if you look at like maybe looking for, especially the next step in your career is probably going to find the first job, and then you probably get paralyzed with too many choices, or there's so many options and you don't know what to choose maybe. I think then that makes you paralyzed in not choosing, but time is passing by. So once you did not choose, the opportunity will get lost. So, and of course, it's more difficult nowadays when there's so many choices, because that means if you make a choice, you have to leave so many, which is hurting, of course. But by making a choice, at least you learn from it, and then you can move on to the next, I'd say.
Actually, that ties into what I was going to say next, as in like, what would you recommend, I guess, to like steps or approaches to choosing your direction in life?
If you I would don't say know. Everything you choose, so make the choices. Don't be afraid to make a choice and just go for it. Mm-hmm. And even if you, like I said, you're a grown up, so it doesn't mean that you have to stick with it for the rest of your life. It's mm-hmm. The first job is not going to be your end station. I think our parents, or at least my parents, you know, they have one job for life. If you look at nowadays, people have so many different careers in already one lifetime, which is a luxury in that sense. So I would say see every step just as in, what do I want to get out of this? And maybe it's something really out of your comfort zone, but at least you learn, okay, how does it feel when I'm out of my comfort zone in a world that I maybe don't know or don't like? What maybe I can learn or meet some interesting people out of it, building a network, learning skills that you've never thought of. I know, I think I was inspired once by a fellow student, and he was a really bright student. And I think what he told me once, what he did, he just thought like, you know what, I give myself a year to do my own traineeship. So every month I'm going to learn something new, because I'm just interested in so many things. And then he just tried things, you know, and then you'll see. And maybe you think, and then he said, if I liked it, I'd do it for another month. If I didn't like it, then I'll move on to the next thing. So in that sense, try. Don't be afraid to choose. It's your first job is not going to be your ideal job, I can tell you. But it is going to be, I think, what you're going to see in your first job, there's so many other things you're going to encounter in general. Let's say whatever your job is, if you like it or don't like it, you're going to have to learn what working life is, how it is to live with holidays. You know, as a student, you have maybe a less restriction on holidays, but if you're in a working life, you have holidays. How do you deal with a personal finance? How do you deal with when you have, let's say, a 40-hour work week? That means, in general, you only have the evenings during the week and the weekends. How do you divide your time with friends and family? Or how do you do sports? All these things, I would say, give yourself at least a year or even 2 years to get used to that rhythm, and to see if that suits you. And once you try it, then really try it. I would say, don't say, okay, after a month, oh, I didn't like it, so I'm going to leave. But really see, what do you get the most out of it when you're there? Most companies, they take a lot of effort to hire someone. And it costs us a lot of money to hire someone. So they don't want you to leave straight away. That is not, you know, they're not going to fire you. It's not they want to leave straight away. And you're in the first job, so they also understand you're new. You have to learn things so you can make mistakes and all that. So if you see in your job like, hey, maybe this is not the direction that I want to go, but what can you learn from the job that you're doing right now? Or maybe what can you do in the company itself? Because there, I think most of the companies are very willing to think with you in what career steps you can make within the company. And then maybe there's other things, you know, let's say if you work in a big company, there's an engineering department, there's a marketing department, there's maybe a consultancy department. So there are many different teams also to try things out. And I think as a last tip, I think I wanted to say also at some point in life, take some time to reflect and why you do things. To understand why you do things says a lot about what you're going to do. So sometimes you say, let's say you just want to make a lot of money. Fine, you know, make a lot of money. You apply for a job that actually can give you that money. Then also don't expect a lot of other things from it than that. Just focus on that. Okay, why do you do it? I do it for the money. Let's say, don't expect that it might be the most fun job, you know, or don't expect it to make you the most nice people that you're going to work with. Another thing that you could think of, like, say I have two brothers. One is very working like 80 hours a week, and the other one is just bare minimum. So, and they at some point ended at the same salary. So I think, you know, I don't know what this says, but at least it says, like, doesn't matter which way you go, you'll probably end up in the same situation. But I would say, let's say if you value personal time more or spending time with friends and family, then also don't apply for jobs, even though it might look good on your resume, but don't apply for jobs that actually demand a lot of you, you know. So it's thinking about what do you find important, and if you're afraid, why are you afraid, and whose approval are you after then? You know, if you're looking for approval from someone, even if you look, say, I want approval from society, well, society is not going to respond. And there's so many people in society, and not everybody's going to agree. So, yeah, if you look for that type of approval, you might never get it. So think about for yourself then, what would you like to do?
So know your why. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. And try.
Try, find the words, try, and know your why. Okay. Well, thank you so much for, like, all your, like, valuable advice today. Like, there's so much knowledge being shared. So yeah, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
If you've made it up to here, thank you so much. This was a really insightful conversation for me, and I hope it brought value to you too. If you want to check out Wing, you can check her on her socials, which are Wang Yang Man, or you can check out 3310 School for Millennials. And please, 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 if you are enjoying the podcast, please subscribe, give a like, and share it, or give us a rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, because this helps us grow and bring on bigger caliber guests. And also stay tuned, because we've got some really cool guests lined up, so you are not going to want to miss this. Thank you so much for supporting, and see you next time.